As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing swords to Calvary, to the crimson floor. Many arrows pierce my soul from without, oh, but my Lord lives ahead. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I want to say, look upon him, on his face, there to sing forever. Oh, be saving grace on the streets of glory. Cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan says, my vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside. But my Lord goes ahead. To sing forever on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. In valleys low I look toward the mountain, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, with the tender hand outstretched toward the valley. Oh, guiding me, I can see, as I onward go, oh, I want to see, look upon him. Glory, let me lift my voice, days all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my path, he doth safely keep. Through this world below, he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him, hallelujah. Oh, I want to see on his face, there to sing forever. Oh, be saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice, his old past, home at last, ever to read. His old past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. We have a testimony here from Brother Tony. We'll just sing that. Oh, I want to say, look upon his face, there to say forever, hope is saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me live my
my voice is past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
One, two. It's not a testimony, brothers and sisters. Anyway, good morning to you. It's just a small little appreciation. You know, when we come here to this service, and we come all year, every Sundays and Wednesdays and Fridays, we always come here and we never ever give the pastor and his team a very good thank you. It's been years that our pastor, our beloved brother, Brother Andrew, has always stood by us. We thank Jesus most for the for giving us Brother Andrew, because we've been here for years with him, and he stood there. People throw stones at him. Even me, myself, I threw a couple of stones at him sometime, you know. But I know he's forgiven me as well, you know. But I stand with him today just to say to him, brother, you're a wonderful brother. And I encourage you, brother, to keep going forward. I want to see you one day and be able to hold your hand in heaven. And I'd like to thank the deacons as well. And I'd like to thank the musicians, George, brother, brother James, our brother drummer there, and our other brother here as well. And as well as Brother Vergus in the back there, and his other little son there as well. And Brother David Scott, Brother Wilmore, for the wonderful job that you've done. Brother, the other two pastors, Brother Maxwell and Brother Francois. May God grant you mercy and grace always, brother. We will always be with you. And I pray as well, the church, be with these brothers. One day, brothers, you will see where we'll be. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Bye.
Amen. Amen. Brother Will, since you withdrew, I'll just sing a song anyway. I had wanted to sing one, but you withdrew yours. Huh? Amen. I just wanted to say something, you know, like people might be upset, but as long as I'm pleasing the Lord. But I like what Brother Max said today. Do you realize that how the Lord works? Like a brother rang me last week and he asked me exactly all those questions that Brother Max preached today. See how God works. And then someone will say, ah, why is he speaking? I'm just testifying of how God, when you're in the spirit, the brother asked me exactly, he said, brother, have I taken the mark of the beast? Brother, what will I do? And I said, brother, don't worry. It's not like that. You just worry about yourself and your wife. Get yourself saved. And the Lord will answer that question. And imagine, the Lord comes today. Brother Max spoke exactly everything in detail regarding the issues the brother was asking. Like, you can't answer that question over the phone when you have a house full of people and you're trying to help people. And the other one, Sister Nachiza and Sister Victoria on Friday, they said to me, they said, brother, do you WhatsApp the pastor everything? Because why was he talking all our issues? I said, sisters, I wish many times I try phone the pastor, I can't get hold of him. You see, but lately for some reason he's busy and I'm busy with college. I never spoke to him. I promise I didn't say a word to him. But that's how God works. You see, that's how the body. But if you still maybe at a level where you can't see that, you don't appreciate that when you speak something at home and come to church, exactly details, everything that you've said, it's always happened. Every time going as far back with Brother Kingsley, Brother Cheslin, when we would speak things at home, the things would come to church and they'll be spoken in church. And it'll be as though from my youth when I first came to the Lord, when I would sit down with Brother Andrew and other brothers and would go to church and the pastor there would preach exactly everything that we spoke. And I'd say, but did you, brother, speak to the pastor? They say, no, brother, that's how it works. So when we can cop on to that one and catch that one, and we'll start understanding how God works. When God is interested, he just takes one little conversation you had and Brother Max comes and he says the things. But praise God for that. I'll just sing a song here. The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Melchizedek came in flesh, revealed in the Son of Man. He came as Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. God who at sundry times spake to us by his word, in the seventh age manifesting himself in an elected bride. Sorry. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine.
When these earthly bodies cease to be, take communion and the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Fear not, bride, you've been shown. Oh, Gentile bride, you're not alone. Only the predestinated are considered in redemption. You may think you are, but do you have representation? Redeemed is to bring back to its authentic place. And only the predestinated will be brought back to this state. I'm under construction, being changed for my heavenly state. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, we'll take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Gentile bride, you've been shown. Oh, be not bride, you're not alone. He's King of righteousness, He's King of kings. He came in flesh, a bride to seek. Pink theophany, Jesus King of kings. Do you believe in the Son of Man? It's Him we see. Longing for your return, in your likeness to be. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, we'll take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Fear not, bride, you've been shown. Oh, Gentile bride, you're not alone. Now the question at hand, who is this Melchizedek? Right where you stand, or where you sit, where is your theophany? Choose you this day, where will you go? Are you heaven bound? Do you really know? Bypass the theophany, yes, tempted here below. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, we'll take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Fear not, bride, you've been shown. Oh, Gentile bride, you're not alone. He's King of righteousness, He's King of peace. Came in flesh, a bride to seek. King Theophany, Jesus, in simplicity, longing for your return. In my mansion I'll be. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, we'll take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Fear not, bride, you've been shown. Oh, Gentile bride, you're not alone.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. In these, the closing day of time. Amen. Let's stand and sing that song. We almost finished. In these, the closing. Sorry. A is better. In these, the closing day of. The closing day of time. What joy. The glorious hope of hope.
Hallelujah.
That soon, oh, wondrous truth supply. Supply. He shall reign. King of kings. Lord of. He's coming. He's coming. His own is coming. Here is soon. Ah. With joy we welcome. He's returning. It may. Him only. I don't know. I know. He's coming soon. The signs around in earth and around in earth and open till on the starlit sky. Faithful witnesses thee.
We are declaring today,
oh, that the coming of the Savior draw it.
He's coming soon, and very soon he's come.
Soon he's coming, here is soon. Oh, we welcome. He's returning. It may be morning, maybe. I don't know.
They will rise
through the portals of the,
through the portals of the sky.
He shall come to prepare our parade.
He's coming, he's coming, oh, he's come.
So
shall meet our faithful Lord.
His hope we cherish not in,
we cherish not in vain,
but we comfort one another by him.
He's coming soon, he's come.
Soon he's come. There is so
coming, he's coming.
Soon he's coming.
back in Zimbabwe sometimes, and our pastor sometimes used to take a long time to come because, and the saints would put that song on. You know, you'd wonder who are we waiting for. He's coming soon. He's coming. With joy, we wait for his appearance. Brother Vlad's asking for prayer. He's not well, and he won't make service today. So let's keep him in prayer. Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name. Thank you very much, Bartoni. I really did appreciate it. Thanks. It really does help a lot sometimes. Let's open Nehemiah chapter 1. Thanks for the Sunday school, Brother Max. I enjoyed it as well. You know, I stand at the door and I knock. Great principle. Great principle. Nehemiah chapter 1. Let's read the first four verses of the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again, Lord. Father, we wait upon you. Lord, how wonderful the song, the words of the songs are. Thank you for items that have been sung. Thank you for the Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school teachers with the children. Father, thank you that you've given us a chance once again to come into your house upon this day. Father, we belong to you. Father, we just give everything to you. Bless each person in our midst. Bless the visitors in our gates, Lord, and even our brother Vlad. Father, we do lift him up unto thee. We ask and pray that you'd minister your healing touch unto him upon this day. That, Father, you'd visit him where he is, Lord, that you'd just energize his faith. That, Lord, he may just reach up and touch your garment upon this day, we pray. Father, bless your people and your word, Father, as it goes forth upon this day. Give us wisdom and understanding, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. You may be seated. Just wanted to give a very quick report. Okay. I just want to give a very quick report while we do this on the saints in Donetsk in Ukraine. It was a real, real good testimony this week. You know, we had spoken once before about the situation in Donetsk, how there's the war going on, there's the Russian-backed rebels that are there fighting against the Ukrainian army. And Donetsk is one of those cities right in the east of Ukraine where the problem is really major. Along the place, Luhansk, where Gideon is, Brother Maxwell's son, it's like a real difficult area in that region. So the saints, a couple of weeks back, had got a hold of me and they'd said, and they really thanked the Lord so much because despite all of the trouble that has been going on there, nothing's really ever happened to their church. You know, the brothers there have got a real beautiful church. It's a wonderful building. You know, the Lord really blessed them so much. They got themselves a printing press inside of there. They got, you know, if you've been to the place, the Lord really gave them a place at a very, very good price. It was really the grace of God. So, you know, they were really grateful for that. So just last week, what ended up happening is they had a visitation from the army. And the army came and says, we're going to take this place now and we're going to use this now as an army base, like a base for the army. And that was really disturbing. And the soldiers came in, they moved in, they moved all the benches, did whatever they could do, and then told the saints, you can't have services here anymore. And they started bringing all their guns, brought all the ammunition into the church. No respect at all. You know, and just hearing it from the saints, they were saying that the people were very, very arrogant the way that it was done. Very, very rough. So we know that Brother Vladimir sent around a message saying, saints, if you can just pray. Because now we've got still 100 and something believers left in this war zone. But there's no place now for us to have fellowship anymore. You know, they've taken away our church. And where are you going to put 100 people? So the saints prayed. And Brother Vladimir said, what I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm going to go to speak to the people and really give my reasons and so forth and just ask them if they can have mercy. Imagine this is in the midst of a war. So the next day he went now, and I don't exactly know the details of what took place when he went there, but he went and he, you know, somehow, it was really just the grace of God how it worked. the person that he spoke to, whatever it was that was done, the people completely changed. And the testimony, brother, that came back, Brother Lamy says, the people just became so meek and so humble. And they like apologized. And the next day they sent all of the soldiers in there to come and take out all the ammunition, take everything out of the church. And they gave the saints back their church. My, I really said the Lord is good. Yeah? The Lord is really, really good. And they said when they first came in, they were so rough with everything. But when they came back, they were meek as lambs, you know, saying, we really do apologize and taking their things and walking around carefully. And I said, my, the Lord watches over his children. Amen. It doesn't really matter about the situation. The Lord really does watch over his children. If you just give me 1 second here, the brothers can't open this file here. So I'm just going to stick it onto my computer. But I was really glad for that. You know, because I was worried, I thought, but my, what does this really mean for these saints? How are they going to survive now without fellowship? It's not an easy thing to do. But by the grace of God, he makes all things work together for the good. I'll just be 1 second here, and then I'll give this to Brother Will. That should be there now, bro. Okay. I saved it in old format as well. I think that's what it was. So we've had a look here now at Nehemiah chapter 1. Now the book of Nehemiah is a very interesting book. It's very applicable. Now there are certain books that speak about the conditions of our day. You know, our times and seasons. We know that the book of Malachi is the last book of prophecy in the Bible. Now we know the book of Malachi is a very important book to us. Obviously, because we'll find ourselves in Malachi. Now we'll find that is the last of the prophetic books when God was dealing with Israel. The prophet speaks of the 7 church ages in the Old Testament, starting with the building of the temple with Solomon, and then going into the time of Jezebel, the dark ages, and so forth. And then at the end, you find John coming, and then there's the coming of the Lord. You know, you find there's a Babylonian captivity in the midst of that. It's like there's the church ages in the Old Testament. And each of these books has their place. And you find the book of Malachi would be an end time book. No, it's the last book of prophecy. And the book of Nehemiah is the very last historical book in the Bible. Now, if you follow all through the whole history of the Jews, the last thing that's recorded in the Bible until the coming of John the Baptist is what you find in the book of Nehemiah. This is the people when they're coming out of Babylon. They're coming back to a season of restoration, like we said last week. Now, God is wanting to restore. The temple's been broken down. No, the city of Jerusalem's not in the situation, the condition that it should be. And you find in these books, they go together. You find Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah, all books that happen in the same season. It's all in the season of restoration. And why I find that so wonderful, because when you go in fellowship in those books, you're going to find yourself there. Because we're living in the season of restoration as well, where the Lord has this purpose. They were waiting for the temple to be built so the Lord could come to his temple the first time. Now the Lord has sent Elijah to repair so that the Lord can come to his temple once again. You know, so you find it's such a parallel of our day. But the thing that really interests me in these books of this restoration, this time when they're coming from their captivity, is the people, is the players that God used at this time. You know, because God is very particular of who he chooses to put in his word. If you find there's somebody who prays in the Bible and God records the words of that prayer, there's something he's wanting you and I to learn from that prayer. You know, there was something about that prayer that has moved into a divine harmony somewhere with God. There's something about that prayer, like the prayer of Daniel in chapter 9. Or we'll see the prayer of Nehemiah here in chapter 1. You'll find there was something there that really caught the Holy Ghost's attention. And he says, I want people to know what was in this prayer. You know, and God echoed the prayer in his word. And he takes it almost word for word in Nehemiah chapter 1. You find the words that Nehemiah prayed when a certain situation, certain condition came. And I think that is a key in the Bible. Is when you see certain people at certain times behaving in a certain way. And God records it in his word and God is pleased with it. God has put those things there for examples for us. He wants that to be a shadow in their day, and he wants us to be the fulfillment in this day. Now, what happened in that time there is speaking, it's a prefigure of what's happening in this time. And the only way we can have confidence is that we're heading in the right direction in our own individual lives is if we can look at the lives of those characters and see, I see some characteristics in that person's life. I see that reflected in my life as well. Now then at least we'll know that we're getting to some kind of a harmony with what God desires in that kind of a season. Now that's why these books are really interesting. If you go and look at Esther, now Esther, she was willing to lay her life down for her people. In that time, just when God was calling them out to come back to rebuild the temple and so forth. So you'd find a sister there, and she was, you know, consecrated herself. She wasn't in the right condition at first to meet the challenge of her day, but she laid aside food and drink, and she went to seek the Lord. And she moved into a certain realm that God was so pleased with. And she said, look, if I perish, I perish. She came to that stage to say, look, you know, if this is going to cost me everything, but if this is what's required for the sons and daughters of God now, you know, I'm willing to lay everything upon the altar. And if I perish, I perish. And God had great respect for that. And God records that in His Word. And you know, we can learn wonderful things from her, just as much as we can receive it when you read about Daniel, who lived in the same season. Because Daniel was the prophet who was reading about Jeremiah, and he saw it's time now for the sons and daughters of God to go back and restore and rebuild. You know, and then out came Nehemiah, and then came Ezra, you know, and they come and they rebuild the temple, they build the walls of the city. And God, like we saw last week, sent them Zechariah the prophet and Haggai, and he comes and God quickens them and encourages them when the work's getting, you know, the burden's getting heavy and it's hard for them to bear the load. And that's why you find Nehemiah, he wasn't a prophet. You never find he had a thus saith the Lord. I mean, he's not that kind of a person. He's just somebody living in a season when he saw a need. Amen. And he saw there was a great need. You know, and he was living in a certain spiritual place that when he saw that need, he responded to that need in a certain way. And that so pleased God that God put that in certain chapters of His Word. You know, when I was reading it the last few days, Nehemiah, I was so much praying, saying, Lord, I want to be like Nehemiah. And I want to be like this man. There's something about this man that you want to emulate. He is a type of Christ in many ways. He's a type of the prophet in our age in many ways, if you look in the prophetic sense. But here was a man that met a certain need in a certain hour. And it so pleased the Lord that the Lord reflected him before us and said, learn from this man. Now there's principles you can learn from this man's attitude, his conduct, and how he faced up to this situation that would be a real, real blessing to the sons and daughters of God. That if each of us could emulate Nehemiah in this restoration time that we're living in as well, it would be of a great benefit. So the Lord, He shows us these kind of things. These are representative people. And the thing which you see about Nehemiah, first of all, is you find he's living in the palace. He's living in Shushan. And you go and read history, and this was one of the greatest, most magnificent palaces in the East. I mean, they've dug up this palace, and it was made of marble. It was a real marvelous, great, great palace. So this man wasn't living in want or poverty. I mean, he didn't have any needs. He was the king's cupbearer. Now, the cupbearer to the king was somebody who was, he was the most trusted advisor to the king. He would make sure that what the king ate and drank wasn't poisoned. And he would be the person that would usher the visitors, the dignitaries and that, into the presence of the king. You know, he was the right-hand man. He was right there at the right hand of the king. This was a very trusted man, and it was a very important position in the kingdom. And it was very well paid. That's why you'll find Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem, and he doesn't take anything from the people. He has all the resources he needs himself. But he's willing to take all those resources in that season. No, he doesn't want to be accountable to the people. You know, and but God has ministered these great resources to him. But he was living an easy life. But he was a godly man. You don't find many godly people in palaces. I mean, if you go into among the rich and famous, above the big people of the world, among them, in that kind of society, it doesn't take long for you to get corrupted by that influence. Doesn't take long for you to start compromising. There's not many people who can bear that kind of a position in that kind of an atmosphere. But here was a godly man, a real godly man in this kind of a situation. And he's a rich man. And he's living in the palace. He's got a big position before the king. But one thing about this man, he had a sensitive heart. He had a very sensitive spiritual heart. Because while he's there that day, he hears some people speaking. Maybe he hears people speaking in Hebrew. He says, those people are speaking in Hebrew. And he comes down and he finds that it's Hanani, one of his brethren. And he says, oh, Hanani, I haven't seen you for some time. And asks him, how is it going in Jerusalem? How is the work of the building going forth? Imagine, Israel's come out of their captivity already. Cyrus has given them the proclamation. Liberty is proclaimed. They've come out of Babylon. They've already gone back under Ezra. We saw it last week. They've started the work. They've rebuilt the foundations of the temple. They've rebuilt the altar. You know, they've settled Jerusalem once again. They've been there for quite some time. You know, they've been there almost a couple of generations by now. And then Nehemiah, though his things are fine, I mean, he's living in a certain place, but he asks and he says, what's happening concerning the children of the captivity? And what is happening concerning Jerusalem? So you can tell where his heart was. Jerusalem is the bride. Now, it doesn't matter where you are. You might have a big position at work, but you'll always have the bride in your heart. Now, that'll be the most important thing to you. You may have to travel here, then, everywhere. You know, you may become a big person in this world, a great man among the great. But if you can keep that kind of an attitude inside of your heart, it's greatly pleasing to the Lord. That his burden was for Jerusalem. Now, his burden wasn't for the next 2 million that he was going to get or whatever. No, his burden was for the people, and his burden was for what was happening in Jerusalem at that time. So they said it to him in verse 3, they said, the remnant that are left in the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. So there's great distress among the brethren. So these people have responded to the move of God. They've come out. It's the end time. This is the end time move in Israel. No, they've responded. Their names we saw last week, Ezra chapter 2, were recorded in the book. Now these are really the children of God, and they come out and they start working on this work. And then they get themselves in a position where it's not easy. There's distress, you know, there's adversity, there's affliction among the sons and daughters of God. And he goes on to say, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. So though the people are in Jerusalem, they're in the promised land, they're in the bride, but there's certain breaches in the wall. And the enemy is taking advantage of this, and they can't live secure. And they, you know, friends, there's a real principle in life, like the Bible says, in times of peace you build. You can't build in times of war. Yeah, and it's hard for these brethren because there's breaches in the walls. The gates of Jerusalem are burnt with fire. You know, so although they've made their homes, maybe they're trying to plant, they're trying to get things going once again, but it's not an easy condition to be in because the enemy can quite easily come in. The enemy can quite easily take advantage of the situation that they're in. You know, so they're in affliction. There's reproach. They're surrounded by the Samaritans who are their enemies. They're not surrounded by friendly people round and about. We saw it last week. So it's not easy for them to build in that kind of a time. And then Nehemiah hears about that. He hears about the condition of Jerusalem. He hears, if we had to put it like Brahman says, he hears about the church and its condition. And he hears, but there's breaches in the wall. And now some brothers are being overcome, and this enemy overcame these brothers. And you know, this enemy came in and ambushed these people while they were in the fields and so forth. And Nehemiah thinks about it. And you know, in verse 4 it says, and it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. My, that's what God liked about this man. When he heard that things weren't going well, and it wasn't with him particularly at that time, but he heard things weren't going well with his brethren, he took the burden upon himself. Now he took the burden upon himself and he says, Lord, how can I be satisfied when the walls of Jerusalem are like this? How can I rest at peace? Although he had access to the throne, he had access to the king. He had access, you know, to the wine of the king and all the things he had access to. He was in a privileged position. But friends, he couldn't be satisfied when he saw the condition of things. There's no ways he could be at peace, would be at rest. And friends, that's what God liked about the heart of this man. You know, when he saw things with the condition they were, he was sensitive. Because if you think what was happening in heavenly places at this time, God had a great expectation for those people. God had delivered them. God had brought Cyrus and given the proclamation. God had allowed them to come out, and God had given them certain resources, had gathered them in Jerusalem, which is his bride, type of the bride. And God had a purpose for that. And now the Lord looked down and he saw, but it's not easy down there. Now this work's not really going forward. We saw it last week, the way that it should be going forward. No, there's people frustrating things, and the hands of the builders are being weakened and so forth. And these adversaries are coming and bringing accusations and all the situation that there was there. Yeah, and if you went and before the throne of God, and if the Lord maybe could have spoken to you at that time, and you could have said, Lord, what is really in your heart? The Lord would have said, I'm burdened for Jerusalem. I'm burdened because of these breaches in the wall. I'm burdened because the gates haven't yet been put back in their place. I'm burdened because of the condition of thing amongst my people down there. Now somehow this man, Nehemiah, managed to tap into that place. And he's such a reflection of what God is feeling. Now when the situation gets like this, he's not looking at it and saying, oh, it's their fault. Amen. No, they should sort out their own problems. And he doesn't have that kind of, he's not saying, ah, I'm glad I wasn't predestinated to be down there at this time. And it's their fault. I mean, I didn't have any. No. But he so much associates himself with his brethren. Amen. Because these are my brethren. Amen. This is my holy city. This is the city of my God. This is the house of my God that we're speaking about. How can I be satisfied when things are like this? And then all of a sudden his nice bed, I'm sure, in the palace didn't feel so comfortable like it used to be before when he went and he laid on it. And no, the food from the king's table, he wouldn't compromise, obviously, but I'm sure he ate well, and he would look at his food and he would say, I don't really want to eat this food anymore. Because he starts thinking of the condition of things down there in Jerusalem. And he starts to mourn and he starts to weep because of these gates and these walls and the affliction and the reproach. Yeah, friends, and I really do believe there's times we need to do that. Amen. As a church, we need to really call a halt. You know, we're going away on Friday, by the grace of God, for 1 week to Israel. I mentioned it the other day. The saints invited us to come again to preach to the Russian brothers there. So we're going to be going away for a week. And I was really thinking to myself, and I just wanted to really propose it to the saints, that when we get back, that we really start having some special gatherings on a Saturday here. Then we really come and bring ourselves before the Lord once again, saints. You know, we really come as the sons and daughters of God like Nehemiah did. And we come and we gather. And we come and we mourn and we pray and we fast the way that Nehemiah did. Because friends, there's certain breaches and there's certain gates and certain things that need to be repaired. That there's certain things that aren't in the condition that they used to be. Now the enemy is trying to take an advantage and come in, and he's trying to bring reproach and he's trying to bring affliction and all that kind of stuff. It's exactly the same with us. Although we're the children of the captivity, although we've responded to God in our age, and God has, you know, we're written in his book and he's brought us into his holy city, he's brought us into the promised land. But just things aren't in the condition that they should be in. And friends, there's no way anybody who has got half a spiritual heart could feel satisfied when it's like that. There's no way anybody could lie on their bed and rejoice when you know that things are like this in Jerusalem. Now, the greatest thing about this man is when he saw the condition, when he saw the circumstances and he started to pray, he started to realize that he was a part of the solution. And that's what people start finding out when they start praying about things. You know, when you hear that Sister So-and-so didn't do right, or you hear that this person didn't do right, or you hear that there's been reproach has been brought by this, now it's very easy to stand off and be critical. Amen. And that's what he didn't do. He didn't just look down and say, but how can those brethren do that down there? But what he did, he took the burden upon himself. Amen. And when he started to come before the Lord now, he started to speak about, we have sinned. We haven't listened to what the prophet said. You know, he took it personally upon himself. And he was burdened and he was heavy. And as he started now to pray and to lay himself before the Lord at that time, the Lord now dropped an inspiration and says, you can be part of the solution. You have an important part to play to repair these breaches in the wall. Don't just leave it to those brethren down there, Nehemiah. You've got certain things you can do. You have special access to the throne. You have a privileged position before the king. You've got a lot of resources that have been ministered to you because of your position. And as he started to pray, he started to see, but I can do something about this. I can make a difference in this situation. And friends, that's what we need. We need people in this season to get into prayer with a sensitive heart so that they can start to see what part of the solution they are. Because there's two ways we can handle it, friends. We can become a part of the problem or we can become part of the solution. And it depends on our prayer life. It depends on how we approach these things. When you don't approach things sensitively like Nehemiah did, when you don't approach it prayerfully, we become more a part of the problem. We make the breaches greater. We make the gates harder to put up. We frustrate the purposes of God. But when we do like this man did, and we have a sensitive heart and a sensitive spirit, and we start looking at the church in our day and its condition, and we start seeing the breaches and all the reproach and so forth, and then instead of speaking about it to other people, amen, instead of taking it and putting the blame on other people, we do like this man did. Amen. We sit down personally and we weep personally. And we mourn personally before the Lord. And we fast personally before the Lord. And then we start making our prayer before we do anything else. Amen. Friends, it's not going to take long before Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. Amen. It's not going to be long. Because once Nehemiah got in that channel and he got himself in that spiritual condition, the Lord now moved upon him. Amen. And said, you can make a difference here. Amen. And then it dawned on him. Now he didn't rush. Because this was the month Chislu. This is November, December. But he only went before the king in the month Nisan, which is about March, April. So it was about 3-4 months this man sought the Lord. Amen. He didn't just rush and say, let's quickly go and fix this, let's quickly go and fix that. Friends, generally we make it worse when we do that. He didn't do that. But he said, let me get in tune and harmony with the mind of God here. Let me humble myself. Let me forget about my robes from the court. Let me put on sackcloth and ashes. Let me come and humble myself before the Lord. And let me wait upon the Lord. And when he now approached the Lord in that kind of a way, God gave such an anointing and understanding and inspiration to this man that the man started to realize, but hey, I can make a big difference myself. If the good hand of my God is upon me, I can make a big difference in Jerusalem. And friends, that's what God's looking for in this age. You know, in this age of the end time now, the move, the restoration, God's looking for people that are willing to be used by him to make a difference. You know, to edify, to build up Jerusalem once again. I said it to Brother Virgus yesterday, we were speaking about something, and I said, no, it's so much easier to break down than it is to build up. I was watching there on, the children have this one, Bob the Builder, and it shows how they destroy buildings. You just have to, anybody who doesn't even have a second grade education, friends, can get on a bulldozer and go and break down a building. But to build something up, that needs skill. Now that needs an artisan. That needs a carpenter, a bricklayer. That needs a plumber. You know, and this is a serious work to build up. It's not an easy thing to build something up, friends, but it's very easy to break it down. It's far easier to be part of the problem. It's far easier. You don't have to have any spiritual commitment to criticize. You don't have to have any spiritual commitment to make things worse. It's just an easy thing to do. But I do believe that God, in the souls of his sons and daughters, every one of us feel a responsibility at this time towards Jerusalem. I really do believe that. My soul would persuade me that every single one of us would say, look, let's come like Nehemiah. Let's come to the time that we get ourselves rid of these afflictions and these reproaches. And let's start to build up these breaches. I'll speak about one of the breaches today that we can start working on. One of these inlets into Jerusalem, which the enemy has been coming in, and we need to stop up these breaches. And we don't need to allow him to come in here anymore. And I do believe as we would humble ourselves before the Lord and seek his face, he'll reveal more and more of the breaches that we need to stop up. And then we'd go forward together. Nehemiah couldn't do it himself, friends. He went down there. He had the letters from the king. He had the letters to the keeper of the king's forest, Asaph. He could have got the wood, could have got everything. But he had to get every single person whose heart God had stirred up to go to Jerusalem to buy into the program. And when they started to see, but there's a hope here. We can restore, we can rebuild this Jerusalem. It doesn't have to stay the way that it is. God started to move. And that is what the book of Nehemiah is about. And the book of Nehemiah is in two parts. First, they start building the city, repairing the breaches, they build the wall. Then they start with the people. You know, there were different things with marriage and different things with compromise and different things. And they started to deal with those things now. You know, they started to deal with the personal issues among the saints. And that's how Jerusalem was restored. And that was the final thing that happened in the Bible. And then Jesus came to that Jerusalem. And Jesus came to that temple. Now, he was used of God, and with Ezra and the others that were used in that age. And God used them to restore the city and to bring it into the situation that Jesus could come. On the donkey, according to the prophecies in that age, the first coming of Christ. And what about in our age as well, friends? For Christ to come in the second coming. Now, he didn't realize when he started to seek the Lord. He just felt burdened. He just felt inside of himself burdened. But when he started to channel that burden in the right direction. Now, the best thing to do when you're burdened about something, friends, is pray about it. Pray about it. Sometimes it's almost the last thing that we do. Now, we all know so-and-so didn't behave very well. Or such and such a thing happened. And remember, I said on Wednesday, the prophet says, how many times says, don't say anything. Don't say anything about it. Nehemiah never went and called other brethren and said, hey, brothers, come. Did you hear what's happening among the brethren in Jerusalem? No, there's a reproach among the brethren down there. There's affliction down there. Do you know those walls? Or they still haven't built those walls. And the other brothers then say, oh, what are those brothers doing down there? They've been down there for years. What have they been doing all this time? Well, these brothers are in the palace. It's easy to do it, friends. But he didn't do that. And God's not looking for people like that. God's looking for people like Nehemiah, the way that he was reflected in the Word. The first thing that he did, he took the burden personally. And he went to pray. And he started to seek the Lord in prayer. Now, look at his prayer from verse 5. This is his prayer and his confession. The first thing that had to come was confession in his prayer. There could be no second stage or no continuance of this move or this work to could actually physically rebuild until there came a personal confession. And he says it in verse 5. So it says in verse 4, he fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven. Verse 5, and he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. So he knew, we are the covenant people of God. We are people under an everlasting covenant here. Now, God hasn't changed his mind about these brethren in Jerusalem. God is burdened. But God is trying to find someone he can lay his hand on to go and make a difference down there. But Nehemiah knows, Lord, we are the people of your covenant. We are the people that came out of Babylon. These brethren, they've already made an altar. They're worshipping under the blood. They've applied the token. They've done well. They've laid the foundation of the temple. They've, you know, they've got certain things going very well, but the work's not yet complete. But God, you are the God of the covenant. If you called them under a covenant to start that work, there's a reason it stopped. But if we deal with the reason, you're still the same God of the covenant. And you'll finish the work that you began. And that's where he starts, and he says in verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before thee now day and night. It wasn't just that he came just once to a special prayer meeting on a Wednesday. Friends, this was the hand of God upon the heart of the man. The man was burdened, and he's praying day and night. And what was he praying for, which I prayed day and night? For the children of Israel, your servants. He wasn't just thinking of himself. He's saying, Lord, I want to pray for our young people in church. Lord, there's breaches. The enemy's trying to come in those breaches. There's trying to bring affliction and reproach upon them. And Lord, I want to pray for our married couples in church. Now, it's not an easy age that we live. There's complications. There's pressure. The government makes the woman have to go and work and different things. Lord, it brings difficulty sometimes in the home. Lord, I want to pray. Lord, I want to pray. And he starts to pray for the children of Israel, the servants of God. That's where he starts his prayer. And then he gets down to business and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. That's the key. He knows I'm part of this problem as well. Now these sins, something's happened. We used to have the favor of God. There was the favor of God when he took the children of the captivity out. There was the favor of God when they started the work so well. But something's coming, Lord. We don't see the fullness of your favor anymore. You just see reproach and affliction and broken walls and burnt down gates in your holy city. Though there's acceptable sacrifice there, though there's people worshiping under the blood, though there's people dwelling in the land of promise. But Lord, something needs to be confessed here. Things need to be made right here. There's something which has displeased you, Lord. There's something I want to make my confession, Lord, because we have sinned against you. He doesn't say, that brother sinned against you. Or why did that sister do so and so? He says, we have sinned against you, Lord. We have sinned because he feels part of Jerusalem. He feels part of the children of the captivity. His circumstances weren't maybe exactly the same as them. But he, spiritually speaking, the same burden that was in the heart of God came into the heart of Nehemiah. And that was the same burden that was being felt amongst the genuine sons and daughters of God in Jerusalem at that same time. There came a sympathy in heavenly places. There came a harmony with what God was feeling and what this man was feeling. And friends, the moment that harmony comes, God's going to start showing you, you're part of the solution. But first, you've got to come into that harmony. You've got to start feeling of it the way that God does. Because friends, it's so easy just to stand apart and to look and say, but why do they do that? And why do they do that? Or why does he do this? Or why does she do this? That's not what the man did. The man, he puts himself together, says, Lord, this is my people. This is your city. We have sinned against you. And then he continues and says, we have sinned against thee. Then he goes even more particular. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Friends, without a personal acknowledgement, every single one of us that we're part of the problem here, we're not going to fix the problem very easily. Until all of us get to that stage. To say, I'm a part of the problem. I could have done a lot more here to fix this. You know, maybe sometimes I never pulled the load. Maybe I sometimes was critical. Maybe sometimes I sowed seeds of misunderstanding. Amen. Friends, it's easy to do. We all do. None of us are guiltless, friends. Amen. Nehemiah was a great man, but he knew he had his part of the blame. And like I was saying on Wednesday, the best thing to do is get yourself out there in your prayer closet, wherever it is. Go and lay yourself before the Lord. And don't start worrying about, why did Sister So-and-so say this? And why did Brother So-and-so? You go and say, Lord, show me my wrong. Show me where I've let you down. Lord, I failed you there. Lord, I never did right there. Lord, I let you down there. And once you start the process like that, something's going to take place. It's not going to take many days of seeking the Lord like that until God's going to start to reveal to you what part of the solution you can play. It's going to start dawning on you, I can do something about this. If God's hand's upon me, I can. And friends, one man made a big difference in that age. It doesn't need a multitude. It just needs just a handful of us, friends. If we really get serious about this, all our problems will be over within a short space of time. I guarantee it. Because God, that's all he was waiting for these people to do. They were always his people. They were always the people on his heart. They were the people recorded in his book. God didn't have plan B for other people to go and do that work. He didn't have a plan B. But he was trying to say, people, there's things here that need to be faced up to. But before you face up to them, take it personally. You set yourself right before the Lord. You come and say, I and my father's house have sinned. And then he continues on in verse 7. He says, we have dealt very corruptly against thee. And have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. So what is it in our day? He's saying, Lord, we've got such a message. They had their Moses. We've got our prophet like unto Moses. Moses, the pillar of fire came down when he was young, we know, and the angel pointed to the north when Joshua and Amram were worrying about the sun. Yeah? And then the angel came down, the prophet says, and told them, you'll have a son with a point in the sword, that he'll deliver his people. And then revealed them to them to make that ark of bulrushes and so forth. No, he had a strange birth. When the angel came to the prophet, he says, I've come to tell you that your strange birth, yeah, and your peculiar life, you've been given two gifts like Moses. The same thing. You know, so they had their prophet. We've got our prophet. They had an Exodus prophet. We've got an Exodus prophet. And what did these brethren start seeing was the problem? Nehemiah and the others that joined him later on. They started seeing, we haven't listened to what the prophet said. And it wasn't in big things, friends. It was in some practical things. They hadn't listened. Maybe they didn't realize the importance of why God said those things to Moses. But when they were now in affliction and reproach, when the walls are now broken, and now they started looking at the things in a different way and saying, Lord, why are we not doing it right? Why is your favor not upon us the way that it used to be? And then the Lord started to reveal, Nehemiah, I told you through my Exodus prophet this, this, and this. But why are you doing this, this, and this? Why are people doing this, and why are you doing this? And then he said, I and my father's house have sinned. Yeah, friends, many times, you know, there's presumptuous sin in the Bible. You don't know that certain things are wrong. Amen. You know, that's why David says, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sin. No, you don't realize sometimes certain things you can neglect in the midst of battle. You don't realize those are sins of omission that it speaks about in the Bible. Then there's sins of commission, things that you knew and you went and did them willfully. But all of them, God calls them sin. All of them. Whether you meant to do it or not, it's a sin. You've fallen short. Sin means to miss the mark. You've missed the mark. You've fallen short of the standard. And he started to look, and he looked down in Jerusalem, and he realized, Lord, we've missed the mark. You know, yes, there's good things, there's some encouraging things, but Lord, we've missed the mark. I and my father's house, we've fallen short. Now there's something more expected of us at this time, but we've missed the mark. And friends, you can never ever progress onwards before you come to that stage. There's got to be an honest confession before the Lord. There's got to be. To say, Lord, we've missed the mark here. Your favor is not what it used to be. There's something here which is grieving you, Lord. Now there's something that you're not pleased with, like Brother Max was preaching today. Now showing it from there, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. You know, and that's all God wanted them to do, was to recognize and see why Jerusalem had got so far, but it wasn't complete yet. And then get rid of those things, stop up those breaches, set the things in order the way that Moses had said. And the covenant God would do the rest. He would fulfill his word. He would fulfill his promise. And that's why this man started to feel deeply about it, because he started to see the reason. At first, I used to read this sometimes and say, but you know, the enemies have stopped them building down there, yeah? Why is this man confessing his sin? Why is he not praying and saying, Lord, help me to raise an army and go and destroy those Samaritans? Lord, help me. If you can grant me grace to go and do this, that, and the other to defend Jerusalem. He confesses. Amen. Because friends, everything traces back to sin. Amen. You can try to deal with the secondary causes and try to deal with the effects, but you got to go back. What is the cause that has caused this effect? Because sometimes we're trying just to push on and say, okay, let's try this and let's do this in church and let's do this. Yeah. But friends, sometimes let's stop dealing, putting the plaster on the cracks. And let's look and say, but hey, what here is displeasing the Lord? What is causing his favor not to be upon us the way that it used to be? Why? What is causing our brothers and sisters sometimes to be in afflictions that are not healed? Now, what is causing sometimes these breaches? And we find our young people are snared here and there by the devil. Friends, it's not a lightweight thing to do. You know, it's like you've got to start like Nehemiah. There's no other way. Amen. You've got to sit down and you've got to mourn and you've got to go and say, Lord, I and my father's house have sinned against you. Lord, and we, the children, your servants, we haven't kept your commandments. We haven't done what your Exodus prophet told us to do. And friends, and if we're serious, then we're going to start to build up these breaches in the wall. And like Nehemiah did, he went now with his resources, with the good hand of God upon him, with a commission from the king to say, now's the time for these breaches to be fixed up. And he went down, and the king, we know the king who he went to there, gave him everything that he needed to do the job. But he had to go down from where he was, get amongst his brethren, get a unity going among his brethren, and saying, brethren, let's build. Let's rise and build up these breaches once again. And then, you go and read the book of Nehemiah. Even the enemies were surprised. I think it took them 40 days. And everybody was surprised. How could it have been done so quickly? And then they perceived that the good hand of the Lord was upon them. Because they started the right way. They started with humbling themselves before the Lord. They started with confessing their sins and making things right before the Lord. Now he was a really mighty man. Now let me just read a few slides. You and I will ask and say, but what breaches do we have in what our prophet said? Let me just read you some quotes from the church in its condition. I'll speak about one of the major breaches we need to deal with, friends, is this one of gossip and backbiting. There's no greater breach we have in our church than this one. I'm glad not everybody does it. But gossip and backbiting is the absolute curse that has brought us in a big way to where we are. This is one of the main breaches in the walls of Jerusalem that has caused the favor of God not to be real the way that it used to be. This is one of the major things, because I was wondering about it and I said, let me go and listen to the church and its condition. And the prophet was preaching to the Branham Tabernacle about the church and its condition. And the condition in the tabernacle wasn't good at that time. And the prophet, I'll show you quotes, he came to show them, this is why you're in this condition. And the first thing is paragraph 41. He's speaking of the lamb and the dove. Now friends, without the lamb and the dove, this principle, we'll never get anywhere with the Lord. You know, the Holy Ghost is a dove. Christ was the lamb. The prophet says the lamb is the meekest of all of the creatures on the earth. And the dove is the meekest, the most gentle of all of the birds of the air. And the prophet, when he wants to speak to the church about its condition, he starts with the lamb and the dove. That's what this entire message is about. And he starts speaking about, but you've got to keep the nature of a lamb. If you want to keep the dove, if you want to keep the divine favor in your life, if you want to keep the divine favor in your midst, you've got to stay as a lamb. And then he says, are you willing to give your rights so that God can lead you? He's speaking about a lamb is willing to give up its rights. It's a sacrificial animal. And Jesus was the lamb. And though the dove led him to situations that you and I would never want to be in, even he didn't want to go through a lot of those things. But he was a true lamb. He could submit himself. He could keep the nature of a lamb even when things were going backwards, even when things weren't going the way that they should. He stayed as a lamb. And that's why the dove abode on him. The dove remained with him right the way to Gethsemane, all the way through, because he was willing to stay in that condition. So the prophet says, that's what's the matter with our churches today in the great majority. That the gentleness of the Lamb of God, we lose the gentleness of the Lamb of God. Now this man, Nehemiah, Nehemiah means the consolation of Jehovah or the comfort of Jehovah. He's a type of the comforter in a way. But this man, he kept his heart sensitive before the Lord. That's the first thing that you find out about the man. Now, he never got a hard heart. He never got to a place that he could quickly just speak out against people. He would have lost that image of the lamb if he had have done that. But he stayed sensitive and he stayed meek and he could confess his sins and he would be humble before the Lord. And that's why the Lord could continue to lead him and guide him in his life. And the prophet says, that's the problem with the churches today. We are supposed to be lambs. But we've become everything else but lambs. And that's the reason, as soon as we get that attitude, it's an attitude, friends. The moment you get an attitude, I'm not listening to what the deacons say. I don't agree with him. Why do I have to listen to him? I'm not visiting that sister. Friends, it sounds like I'm saying something small, but according to this message, you've lost the gentleness of the Lamb. I'm not shaking His hand. There's a fallen condition in your soul. You may know all the quotes of the message from A to Z. You may have been in the message 35 years. Whatever it is, that doesn't mean anything. You've lost something which is a prerequisite to keep the dove. Not to say you didn't have the dove. Friends, we used to have the dove here in a far greater measure than we do now. But what happened? We lost the nature of a lamb. We lost the gentleness. We lost that something that we used to have when we first began. We didn't worry about nationalities then. We didn't worry about languages then. We didn't worry about people's backgrounds, which different brands of the message they came from. We realized we have a purpose to rebuild Jerusalem here. We realized that at that time. But after a while, something started to change. And friends, like I'm saying, I'm not putting my finger to blame on anybody else. I and my Father's house have sinned.
Amen.
And until each and every one of us does that, friends, we're going to have a hard time getting this right.
Amen.
I and my Father's house have sinned. And we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And then the Lord will start to show us, like Nehemiah, that you can be part of the solution. You can actually go and rebuild some of these breaches. The prophet says, that's the reason. As soon as we get that attitude, the dove of the Holy Spirit takes her flight and leaves. My. Then you wonder why you can't pray the way you used to be able to pray. Why when you're reading the message, you listen to the message, it's not personal, hidden manna to your soul the way that it used to be. That when you fellowship with brethren, it's not the same fellowship that you used to have. There's not an edification anymore. It's just a general talk. It's because we've lost the nature of lambs. We lost the gentleness. We lost the submission. A lamb just gives in. Even when it might be its right. That's what he says. You might say, but this is my right. I don't have to do that. That's true, the prophet says. But as a lamb, you'll give in. A lamb just gives you its will. Then he says, paragraph 61. It says, then the church began to get little cliques in among them. A clique is a little group within a church. They stick to themselves. It's not easy to get admittance into that little group. And they speak amongst themselves. And generally speaking, a clique will always be criticizing the rest of the people. That's what a clique always does. And the prophet, speaking of the Branham Tabernacle, look, friends, Nehemiah said, we haven't listened to what your prophet said. And friends, we haven't listened to what the prophet said either. Because he came and he told us. Cliques, we don't need cliques, friends. This is one body. We can't have two bodies here. We don't need cliques. He says, then the church began to get little cliques in among them. Now listen. And this one said, you know, the pastor's just so-and-so. Or the deacon's so-and-so. Brother Wilmore this, or Brother David that, or Brother George this, or you know, Brother Ellie this, or whatever. And we start speaking about other people. Shame on us. Shame on us. Especially when there's other people there. I hear about it. Young people tell me. Brother so-and-so be visiting me in his house and he was speaking against another brother. Shame on us.
Amen.
Shame on us, friends.
Amen.
We need to sit down and weep and mourn for that.
Amen.
And we need to say, I and my father's house have sinned. How can we speak about another brother in public?
Amen.
Why don't you go and pray for that person?
Amen.
Did you pray first?
Amen.
No. Because you can't pray and then go and speak about somebody. The fact that you gossiped about someone, you judged somebody unfairly, shows you never prayed about it in the beginning. You did it in the flesh. You got the wrong spirit on you. And you spoke things that you shouldn't have spoken. And now you've influenced other people. It's like I've said before, that rabbi, a true story, that in a synagogue in America, and there was this couple in the synagogue that were gossiping and speaking evil about the rabbi. And then they realized one day it was wrong what they did, and they came to the rabbi and they said, Rabbi, you know, we've done wrong. We spoke evil against you. And he took them outside. It's a true story. He took a feather pillow and he cut it with a knife. And it was a windy day. And he threw all the feathers in the air. And then he waited and the wind blew the feathers in all directions. Okay, go and collect all the feathers now. Can you understand what he's saying? He's saying, good, it's right. You're saying sorry to me, but all your feathers, all the things you said about me, they've gone far and wide.
Amen.
And it's not going to be easy for you now to go and repair all the damage that you did. And that was a very good principle, friends. Amen. Friends, I may have faults, but one of my faults is not gossip. We don't gossip in my house. We don't gossip in our car. Amen. When we have people coming to visit, we don't speak about other people. We don't run people down. This is one of the great breaches we have to repair, friends. Amen. This is a great breach in our Jerusalem. This is where the enemy has been coming in and where the enemy has been taking advantage. And then you wonder why some of our young people find it hard to believe. Amen. Because they look and they say, but these people can't even agree amongst themselves. Amen. They claim such a great message, but they speak against one another just so easy like that. Friends, it's a shame. It's a shame. Amen. You go and see Ezra, and you go and read the prophet preaches, the blushing prophet. And he says, Ezra, when he went before the Lord, he sat down and he says, Lord, I blush because of the transgressions of the children of Israel. And like I'm saying, friends, this is the prophet. This is the physician in our day, diagnosing the case in our age. And he's coming to tell us why the church is in the condition that it is. And it's because of cliques, friends. It's because of little exclusive groups, and we go and plot and plan and speak to people and make our own plans about things and make our own conclusions about things. That's the absolute enemy of unity. Amen. And without unity, friends, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be real issues we need to deal with. But that's what I'm trying to say. Before this man went and dealt with the issues, he first humbled himself before the Lord. He first confessed his sins and said, am I to blame you? And he prayed about his brethren that were in affliction. He prayed about the city because of the condition that it was in. And then the Lord anointed him. He said, okay, let me go now and try to see if I can be a part of the solution here and not be a bigger part of the problem here. Little cliques. He says, you know, the pastor's just so-and-so, or the deacon is so-and-so. And the first thing you know, you listen to that. Amen. So it's not only the person who said it, but it's the person who listened to it. Amen. Instead of saying, brother, let's not speak those kind of things. Or taking that person aside and saying, brother, please, you've got visitors in your house. How can you speak like this? Amen. You listen to it. Oh, you tell me. Hey, my, I never knew that. Oh. And the prophet says, and that's the reason you have so much trouble. He's diagnosed a big case for us here, friends. That's the reason that you have so much trouble. It's because what? You've begun to listen to the devil. Oh, I thought I was listening to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. He says, no, you've listened to the devil. That was the devil upon that person. To make them speak against somebody in the bride. When the Bible says, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. We the anointed here, friends. And the Bible says, the prophet will show us later, says, that's why Paul says, that's the reason many of you are sick. That's the reason many of you are weak and even some die early. Because of this, the prophet says, failing to discern the body of the Lord. This is a great breach, friends. And like I said, before we try to do anything else, we need to humble ourselves. We need to call fasting. We need to come on a Saturday, come early. And we need to come and lay in the presence of the Lord. And we need to get the Lord to search our hearts and search our souls. And then He'll start to show you, look, you need to go and fix this breach. You need to go and make this thing right. I'll just continue on. This is just a couple of pages that he's got. And he says, paragraph 60, he says, and you go to talking about your neighbor. That's the person next to you in church. The prophet says, he, the Holy Ghost, can't stand that. He just won't put up with it. He just takes his flight and goes on away. He just can't stand it any longer because the dove is gentle. The dove is meek. And the dove can't stand nothing unless it's the same kind of a nature. Can you see why prayer is the key to start this? Because you've got to first get yourself the right nature again. Amen. You've got to first overcome yourself and overcome your unforgiveness and overcome your bitterness and overcome, you know, your frustration and so forth. And you can only do that in prayer. No, to really pray and to humble yourself before the Lord. To get yourself in His presence like Nehemiah. To say, Lord, we have sinned. We've sinned, Lord. We have sinned against you. I may not be guilty of gossip, but I know other things that I've fallen short in, friends. I know other things where I missed the mark. And friends, you have to go personally, individually before the Lord, and you have to speak to Him about those things. Because there can never be a repairing of the breach before you do that. There's got to be a personal accountability. You've got to take the blame first to yourself, into your own bosom. Jesus says, before you go to your brother to try to take the speck out of his eye, take the beam out of your own eye first. That's the principle we're speaking of here. But sometimes the beam is so big we can't even see that we've got a beam. And now we're trying to speak about the speck in other people's eyes. Now that's why there's got to be that. We've got to come back to a gentleness and a meekness in our dealings with one another and our dealings with things. And then we can start. Just a couple more. It says in paragraph 69, it says, now I want you to notice, the lamb was a silent lamb. The Bible said he opened not his mouth like a sheep before the shearers. He was dumb. He didn't open his mouth. He wasn't a fellow that wants his rights. No, sir. He was willing to forfeit his rights. He was a silent man. So when somebody said something against him, Jesus, was he provoked? Did he answer back? He didn't. He was a silent man. He took it to the Lord, his Father. He bore the burden. When somebody stepped on his toes, when someone tried to catch him with questions, when Judas betrayed him, he was a silent lamb. He was gentle. He never allowed those circumstances and those situations to change the fundamental nature of who he was. He never allowed those things. And why? Because he spent a lot of time in prayer. Amen. He spent a lot of time in the Word. He spent a lot of time in fellowship. He kept the vision before him. He kept the purpose before him. There were many things to pull him to the left or to the right. But he stayed the silent man. The prophet said, not meaning he was silent in all things. He cried out against sin. But he was silent in those personal things. He wouldn't take it and tell it to other people. He would keep it to himself. He would speak to his Father. He would bear the burden himself. The prophet says, but today, oh my, how we want our differences. It's like we revel in it. I don't agree with that person. I don't agree with Sister So-and-so. I'm not going to fellowship with them. But this is how we want our different. And as long as we want it, friends, we're never going to deal with it.
Amen.
But the time we come to God, I don't want this anymore. I don't want it to be like this anymore. That's the time God's going to start to show you that you cannot be a part of the solution. This is now something that you can do about it to repair that breach. Oh my, I tell you, listen to what the prophet says. We want our differences. He says, oh my, I tell you. You just let somebody say something to me. I'll go over and get him, boy. I'll take him apart. I'll tell that old hypocrite when I see her. You just wait till I see her. Bless God. Hallelujah. The prophet dramatizes it. But we get ourselves. That's not a lamb anymore. Therefore, the dove's taken its flight. But you're saying, I'm going to go and tell that brother. He can't treat me like that. How can he speak about me like that? You're no longer a lamb. You're no longer a lamb. You failed the test. We failed the test. When the Lord was testing a reaction to an action, he wanted to say, can you bear the reproach? Can you do what the prophet taught you? Can you not say anything and go and take this brother to the Lord in prayer? Can you do that? Can you go and overcome yourself sufficient that you're going to go and say, Lord, my brother, I know he's done evil to me. I don't understand why he did it. But Father, he's my brother.
Amen.
And he says, and the Lord will start speaking to him, start showing you what that person's been through. He says, and then you will start to sympathize with that person. He says, then you will start to pray for that person. When you come down, you'll go and shake hands with that person.
Amen.
Friends, that's what the prophet told us to do. But we haven't done what the prophet told us to do. And that's why Nehemiah was said, we've dealt treacherously against the law of Moses. We haven't kept his statutes. We haven't kept his precepts. It's not the big things. It's the little fox that spoils the vine. And these are the things, friends, that cause such great breaches and keep the breaches big in Jerusalem. And a city with breaches in its wall, it's hard to defend that city. The enemy has quite an easy access to keep coming in and plundering that city. And friends, I'm sure you don't want any more plunder from our Jerusalem. We need to repair these breaches. Every single one of us, friends. It's the personal responsibility of every single one of us. Not one person, nothing like that. Let's take a personal accountability for these things. The prophet then says, the dove just takes his flight and goes on away. That's right. The Holy Spirit's not with you anymore as long as you feel that way. As long as you've got that anger against a brother. As long as you've got an unforgiveness against a sister. You may be religious. You may quote a lot of things. You may listen to messages until you listen to them in your car. You listen to them while you're sleeping. But the prophet says the Holy Ghost isn't with you anymore. Because he's a dove. He can't be with you when you've got that attitude. The moment you lose the gentleness, the moment you lose the meekness inside of yourself, you may actually be right in principle and wrong in spirit. Amen. And you're just as wrong in the eyes of God as if you were wrong in your principle. You may have something which is true. Now, if you say something that's truth and you say it with a wrong spirit, it's no longer truth. Amen. That might absolutely be the truth. If I come to Brother Woolman, I say, Brother Woolman, do you know Brother David did this, and it might actually be the truth. But I'm saying it with the spirit because I'm trying to do him down. I'm grieved against Brother David. And I'm saying truth to Brother Wilmore. God doesn't recognize that as truth anymore. Because of the spirit that I'm saying it in. Friends, we can take the truth of the message, and because of the spirit we say it in, it's no longer the truth that it was said. Because you've got to say it in the same spirit that was said. The same motive and the same objective. Yeah, the same burden of the Lord like the prophet had when he brought it. And then it'll have the same effect on people that it had when he had it, because we're saying it in the same way that he said it, the same spirit. But we've seen it, friends. We can take quotes and we can make our own empires in the message. We can divide churches. We can do all manners of things with quotes. Those quotes are absolutely truth. But the dove's taken his flight because of our attitude. Because you're not going about it with the gentleness. We're not going about it with the meekness in the soul that the prophet is saying here. He says the Holy Spirit's not with you anymore as long as you feel that way. Listen from the book Azusa Street. The prophet speaks in this message of Azusa Street. I went back to that book, Bartleman. I've read this before, but listen what they say about when the Holy Ghost first fell at Azusa Street. He says, divine love was wonderfully manifest in the meetings. They would not even allow an unkind word said against their opposers or the churches. So when they started, the newspapers were against them. The other churches, the mainstream denominations were fighting against them, saying all things against them. But they had the dove. And it was a rule. We don't say anything against them. Let them say things against us, but we don't say anything against them. That's what divine love does in the midst of people. He says the message was the love of God. It was sort of a first love of the early church returned. The baptism as we received it in the beginning did not allow us to think, to speak, or to hear evil of any man. My. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the dove, the same dove that came on Jesus in the Jordan, it won't allow you to say things against somebody. It won't allow you to think evil against somebody. It won't allow you to listen to someone saying evil against somebody. It'll take its flight. And you lose that something you had in your experience. And it's not the same as it used to be. And you go for prayer and there's no more the quickening in your prayer. It's not the way that it used to be. You go now to fellowship at home with the family and it's dry and it's dead. And there's no more the divine favor. There's no more the divine blessing. Friends, that's the real one. That's why the prophet, if you read this message, this book, Azusa Street, he goes on after this to speak about the Holy Ghost is a dove and Christ was a lamb, exactly the way the prophet did. And that's the principle. You know, if you really want to keep Christ in your midst, if you want to keep the real Holy Ghost, the dove in your experience, you've got to be so careful what you say. You've got to be so careful how you think about people. Amen. You've got to be so careful about what you listen to about people. Because the dove is very meek and gentle. The dove is very sensitive to the prophet. It quickly takes its flight. It says, but it doesn't go far. It says, it's just waiting for you to get the nature of a lamb once again. Amen. And then the two natures can merge once again. And the dove will come back into your experience once again. Just coming to a close on this, he says, prophet says, then you wonder what's the matter with you. You wonder what's the matter with the church. You wonder what's the matter with you. Why ain't you got victory like you used to have? You changed your nature. You became a goat instead of a lamb. You became something else beside a lamb. But the problem is, friends, when we change our nature and we accept that spirit upon us, we don't forget the quotes. We don't forget the quotes. We still know all the quotes. We still know all the verses in the Bible. We can still quote and tell people this, that, and the other, but there's no more the lamb. And that's how a person can have a genuine grievance. It'll be a genuine grievance, but the spirit they go about trying to get the thing resolved. Friends, you need to do like Nehemiah first. Go and sit and weep and mourn. And let it be a burden to you first. Say, Lord, I want to be a part of the solution. I don't want to make the situation worse. And then God leads you now to go and deal with that situation. Finally, it says, you've got to get that real meek spirit. Let the Holy Ghost lead me wherever. God, I love every sinner no matter what they are. That kind of a place. Get in the human heart. Then you're going to see something happen. Amen. That's when you see something happen again. Because it's the atmosphere that brings the results, the prophet says. So you get that atmosphere in your soul. Start with yourself. In your own bosom. Become a lamb. Confess your sins and the sins of your father's house. Become a lamb once again. Let the dove come back. Things are going to start happening. Because whenever he comes, something good happens. Just as much as in the Bible, leaven is spoken of as being an evil principle, Jesus speaks about being a good principle as well. He says the kingdom of God is like a man who put leaven in a lump until the whole lump was leaven. Leaven speaks of influence. Now you can have two sides of influence. You know, the right influence, if somebody's in the right spirit, they influence the people around them. Amen. And they start getting the right influence, the right spirit upon them. That's the good type of leaven. But the other kind of leaven is that fermentation level. You put that leaven in, it starts corrupting. And anything that comes in touch with that gets corrupted as well. And you take the little bit of that dough that's been leavened and go and take a little touch another piece of dough. That other piece of dough gets leavened as well. Everything that comes into contact with it starts corrupting what it comes into contact with. And then you end up with breaches, friends, in the walls of Jerusalem. And you end up with gates that are burnt with fire. And you end up with affliction and reproach among the sons and daughters of God. Though they're the children of the covenant, they're the children of the captivity, though they started well, though they've established an altar and this worship under the token, and you know, though God's good thoughts are towards them and he's a covenant God towards them, but he withholds his favor because of these breaches. And then Nehemiah now, he came at that time and said, brethren, let's build these breaches now. Let's work together. Let's rise and build. Yeah, and he went first and he surveyed the city himself, if you can read the book of Nehemiah. He went, took his horse during the night. He never told the other people what he was doing. But he went around to the sheep gate and he went around to the fish gate and all those different gates. And he saw all the rubble and he saw the way that it was. And then the next day he called all the brethren together and says, brethren. And he told them about the good hand of his God. About the commission of the king. About the desire that he had for the good of Jerusalem. And the people said, let's build. And they had one heart and one mind and said, let's restore Jerusalem once again. And that's what it was in the season of restoration. And I believe that's the type of people that God is looking for now. It's for us to go down. Look in Nehemiah chapter 2. He's prayed, he's fasted many days. You know, chapter 1. Let's just read from verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 1. This is the end of his prayer. It says, now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and thy strong hand. Now he knew this is the bride. He says, you've redeemed these people. These are your people, Lord. You brought us out of the denominations. You delivered us from Babylon. You brought us into the truth. Verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. And grant him mercy in the sight of this man. If I was the king's cupbearer. So while he's been in prayer these days, while he's been humbling himself, it's dropped upon him what he can do about it. He's realized, but hey, I never thought of that. I can make a difference here. God has put me in a situation that I can make a difference here. And he followed that through. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. This is a prayerful man. The man asked him a question. What do you desire? And in between the question and his answer, he just prayed. And he says, Lord, give me favor. Grant me wisdom. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that you would send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, and I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, which was Esther, for how long shalt thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I said in my time, friends, I really pray that it pleases the king to send you. And I pray that it pleases you to be sent by the king. And I pray that if each and every one of us would do that and have just a purpose inside of our hearts at this time. And if there's nothing else that you can do, just pray. Just make it a real issue of prayer. Your brother Max was speaking about intercession and so forth. Make it a real issue whenever you go before the Lord. Because this man, whenever he had come before the king, when he came before the king, and the king straight away asked him, what is it that you desire? From the abundance of his heart, his mouth would speak. He said, Lord, I'm burdened for Jerusalem. I'm burdened for the condition of things down there. My Lord the king, how can I be happy when the condition is like that? And then the king said, what do you want? And I told him, I need this, and I need to have so much time. And then it says, I said, verse 7, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over until I come into Judah. So the king gave him his protection until he finished his commission. Verse 8, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. Now the materials to rebuild started to be issued by the king, according to the commission, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God that was upon me. Oh, friends, if we could go before the king like that, if that could be our burden and our desire and our request, and if the king could grant to us according to the good hand of God that is upon us. And friends, when he prayed these prayers, when he put these things before the Lord, when he brought these things and he laid them before the Lord, now God looked down at those words of his prayer and says, this pleases me. And God put those words in the Bible, showing that he was praying in the Spirit. That what he was praying for was exactly in accordance with the burden and the desire that the Lord had for him at that time. And friends, may the Lord help us to do that. Like I said, we'll be in Israel for a week. Please pray for us when we're there. And I really do pray, saints, let's be in prayer at this time. And when we come back, let's come and assemble ourselves before the Lord. Now you sit down in your own time and you search your own heart and you search where you have sinned against God. And I search where I've sinned against, where I and my father's house have sinned. And I start making my things right and you start making your things right. And then we come together and we gather together as the sons and daughters of God. And we start seeking his good hand upon us once again. We start seeking the fullness of his divine favor upon us. But friends, it's time to build, like I said last week. And I believe that every son and daughter of God who's called in this hour feels that urge inside of themselves, feels the desire, has the burden. Because I believe that's the burden of the Most High. That's the burden of the word of the Lord. That's the burden that's inside of him. And as we draw nigh unto him, we start feeling the same burden. So may the Lord help us. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer before the Lord before we go. Like I said, those books, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, they all go together. Even Daniel chapter 9 and so forth. It's all the same season how God was dealing with his people. We don't have time today, but you can read Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel's prayer is even longer, but he prays almost exactly the same thing. You can see Nehemiah had been reading the prayer of Daniel, had been inspired by the prayer of Daniel. And Daniel was praying the same thing. I and my father's house have sinned. And he was praying for the Lord to quicken and hasten and finish his work. Let's sing that song. Lord, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Coming home.
Coming home.
Coming
home.
Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming.
Melody sweeter than sound. In celestial lights, transient, unceasingly falls. Oh, my soul, like an infinite. Oh, yeah, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father, from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever. I pray in the fatherless pillows of love. What a treasure I have in this city of God. Deep in the heart of my secure that no power can bind it away. The days of eternity, oh, big, wonderful peace, oh, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever. I fatherless pillows of love, I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace. Listen sweetly in Jesus' control. Though I'm kept from all danger by night and by His glory is flooding my soul. Oh yes, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit. Methinks when I rise to this city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see that one strain of the song which the ransom is in the heavenly kingdom. Oh yeah, soul, are you here without comfort? Marching down the rough pathway of the pathway of time. Make Jesus your friend in the shadows. Oh, accept this sweet peace, oh, sir. Oh, yeah. Peace. From the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever. I fatherless pillows of love, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. For the hand of God in life I say, yes, the secret
of my bliss,
oh,
yes, the secret all is this, that the comfort
abides
with me.
Oh,
he abides. fight with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died on the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird, just as free, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up instantly. All my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
I'm rejoicing night and day
as I walk the narrow way, for the hand of God in all minds with me.
Just want to say, Brother David gave me a testimony there in the prayer line. It's wonderful, friends. The Lord likes to heal the breaches. You know, if anybody knows Brother David's testimony, he came over to Ireland for a course. You know, things didn't go well on the funding and different things. And he got himself stuck here. You know, and he couldn't finish his course, he couldn't get his papers sorted and so forth, and the immigration just put him in limbo.
Hallelujah.
But the Lord has intervened on his behalf. And the immigration have sent him a letter. He can work, and they're going to take a good care of him from now on. So we really do thank the Lord for that. Now, sometimes you pray, friends, and you don't think the Lord answers, but he has his season and he has his time. And he has his reason for the season. It's the best time. So really do thank the Lord for that testimony. But may the Lord quicken and hasten and finish the work in the life of the brother. Let's sing that song. This is the air I breathe. Let's come to a time of prayer, friends. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the blessing of the Lord upon Jerusalem once again.
The
This is the air I breathe.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Oh,
your spoken word revealed to me.
And I'm
desperate for you. I'm lost without you.
I'm lost without you, Jesus.
And I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you, Lord.
And I'm lost without you.
Oh, my Lord.
Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away.
That's so far away from me, Lord.
Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey.
This is my desire this morning. Oh,
this is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Oh, I worship you, Lord.
All I have within,
all within me, Lord,
I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
He knows
my name. He knows my name.
He sees
each tear that falls, and hears me when I call.
He knows
my name. He knows my every thought.
He sees
each tear that falls, and hears me when I go.
He hears me when I go.
He hears me when I go.
Saints, He hears us when we call. Let's all call upon the name of the Lord before we dismiss. Let's seek His face. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let's seek Him upon this day. Father, we're coming unto Thee as Your people upon this day. Father, I just wanted to come by the way of Your blood. I just ask Brother Will, would you mind coming to pray for us, brother? Let's just sing that chorus, He knows my name, He knows my name, as the brother comes.
My name, He knows my every thought.
He sees
each tear that falls,
and hears me when I go.
Heavenly Father,
yes, Jesus.
Lord, You are a wonderful God.
Yes, Lord.
You are a merciful Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, You are so loving to us, we can never express it in words,
oh,
Lord.
Jesus.
Yes, for Lord. You looked from heaven and You saw the desolations of the city.
Amen, Lord.
You saw, Lord, how Dublin was in such a state, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That it was so displeasing unto Thee, Father.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, we've done so much against You, Lord, that we do not deserve for You to even look, Lord.
Amen, Lord.
But Father, You looked and You saw our condition, Father.
Amen.
And You did not desire to leave it like that.
Yes, Lord.
But Father, You have put it now in the hearts of men.
Amen.
Lord, oh God, that we cannot be satisfied with this condition.
Yes, Lord.
Father and Lord, You are stirring something, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That we may start to rebuild and prepare, Lord, oh God, for Your coming.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that Lord, we may put in place, Lord, everything that needs to be in place, Father.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, for us to move from this place where we are, Lord.
Amen.
It requires for us, Lord, to do even as Nehemiah did, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes,
Father, Lord, this morning, Lord, we humble ourselves and come
Lord.
Before You
yes, Lord.
As Your
yes,
people, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we are Your children and
yes,
we are
Lord.
Holding on to the promise, Lord,
yes.
that You would never forsake us.
Amen.
No matter how red our sins may be,
yes, Lord,
You say,
yes, Lord.
Come, let us reason together.
Yes, Lord.
And we have come,
yes,
oh God,
yes, Lord.
Not
yes,
trying
Lord.
To place the blame in another person's
no,
heart, Lord, but in our own hearts, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we
yes,
are saying
Lord.
This morning, may You search us, Lord, out
yes, Lord.
As Your word has searched us yes, out, Lord,
Lord. Yes,
and
Lord.
Has found
yes,
that
Lord.
Blot of yes. gossip.
Oh,
it has found Lord. That terrible blot of backbiting.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and
yes,
we are saying, Lord,
yes,
oh God,
Lord. Yes,
we don't want to remain in this place, Father.
Amen.
Lord, it is far too much
yes,
painful
Lord.
For a man to bear,
Amen.
Lord. We
Amen.
Want to go back to that place, Lord.
Yes.
Where we once were with
Hallelujah.
You, oh God.
Yes,
and
Lord,
we pray
yes,
this morning, Lord,
yes,
that Father,
Lord,
no matter
yes,
what
Lord,
the cost,
yes,
Lord,
Hallelujah.
No matter the shame it may bring
Amen.
Upon our faces,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
oh God, it is
yes,
much better
Lord.
That we bear the shame
Hallelujah,
than to
Lord.
Remain in this condition.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray,
oh,
Father,
yes,
that, Lord, even
Lord,
as we would
yes,
go
Lord.
To our houses, Lord,
Amen,
may
Lord.
We, Father, start, Lord, repairing
Amen.
The breaches, Lord,
yes, Lord,
making right one with the other, Lord,
yes, Lord.
That the
Jesus,
devil may be shunned from among us, Lord,
Hallelujah.
And
yes,
help
Lord.
Us that we may cling
Amen.
One with another
so
Lord. Close together that
Amen.
He will never have an opportunity
Amen,
to come in amongst
yes,
us again.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes,
help
Lord.
Us, Lord, that we may return
Amen.
To that place,
yes,
even as Nehemiah thought of the city,
oh, Lord,
and he wept,
Jesus.
Lord.
Amen.
Father, when we think of the former glory of this place,
yes, Lord.
Lord, we weep
oh,
in our
yes,
hearts,
Lord.
Father,
yes, Lord.
Desiring
yes, Lord.
To go back to that place
Hallelujah.
Again.
Yes, Lord.
I pray You would help us. As
Please,
You
Lord.
Have seen already, You are helping us.
Yes,
and You have shown us, Lord, the first step,
Amen.
The thing we ought to do,
Amen.
To commit ourselves to prayer, Lord,
yes, Lord.
To seek Your face, Lord,
Hallelujah.
Until we found You, Lord.
Amen.
May it be, Father, that this week we would not rest, Lord, but we'll continue, Lord, to seek Your
Please,
face,
Lord.
Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
When You would reveal
Lord.
Anything to us, Lord, that needs to be made right,
Amen.
That we be zealous, Lord, and
yes,
do it,
Lord.
Father.
Hallelujah.
That, Father, this place may be prepared once again, for we know that You
yes,
are the
Lord.
God of restoration. creation.
Amen.
And that you are going to restore once more.
Amen.
Lord, for you are always a God that gives another opportunity.
Yes,
even
Lord.
To a man like Samson.
Amen.
You gave him a once more. And
yes,
we are
Lord.
Praying, Father, that you help us, Lord. We pray for our brethren that were not here today.
Yes,
our
Lord.
Brother Vladimir
Please,
sick
Lord.
This morning.
Touch
we pray
him,
you touch him and heal him,
Jesus.
Lord.
Amen.
That we meet with him, Lord, next time we gather
Amen.
And rejoice together. I pray,
Please,
Father,
Lord.
Even for the journey our brother Andrew is undertaking
yes,
on Friday.
Lord.
May you be with him, Lord.
Please, Lord.
And Father, may he go and minister your word to the people that they may be edified, Lord. And
Please,
that, Father,
Lord.
You'd
yes,
bring
Lord.
Him back safely.
Please, Lord.
Father,
Please,
and that
Lord.
We would continue Please, on with this program, Lord, and march against the enemy
Amen.
Until complete victory is won, Lord. I
yes,
commit
Lord.
Ourselves to you,
Please,
every
Lord.
Brother, every sister here, Lord. May you help us this afternoon, Lord, to continue meditating upon this word, that, Father, you may be glorified.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Commit ourselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So just to encourage everybody, please, for prayer meetings on Wednesdays, please. Everything starts with prayer. Really encouraging, Saints, Wednesday. Also, they're saying two Sundays time, Brother Tommy will be here with us, Brother Tom. So if anybody is sick, please invite the lost, invite those that are needed of prayer. That's Brother Tom in 2 weeks' time. So God bless you. May the Lord be with you until we meet. Amen.
Something keeps holding me. Every day I see. Helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory, He's a reality, something keeps holding me. The trials of this world were getting stronger, the pull I felt was more than I could bear. I have found in time not over. Whoa, and if the divine something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Constantly giving me victory, He's a reality, for Jesus keeps holding me. Satan tried lay before me, his temptation of his desire to steal away my revelation, the strength I need to keep me by His grace. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, He's a reality to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly. Giving me victory, He's a reality, something keeps holding me, something keeps holding me, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory, He's a reality, for Jesus keeps holding me, He's a reality, Jesus keeps holding me.